Thank you.
Yeah, you, I hate to say this, but you make me feel old, Fred.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
No, I mean, what I mean by that is I remember in eighth grade when you first came up, I mean, I thought you hung the moon, and now I see that you're 42 years old. I said, God, I'm getting...
No, no, just 41.
41?
Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I'm 31, so I'll be 32 in about a month, so anyway, but well, happy birthday, too. I was looking through your stats, and I said, God, tomorrow's his birthday, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, well, good. Well, Fred, you've been out of the game, you know, only about two seasons now, but...
Yeah.
I know you haven't had much time to really, that isn't a whole lot of time to look back, but... When you look back at your career...
Plenty of time.
Yeah. Was there anything...
Longer than that.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's because it was 1990 with San Diego, which was your last.
But that's correct. You know, 2 years is just kind of a blur when you start to get a little bit older.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem that long at all that I was playing.
What brings you back? What brings the most pride when you think about your career, when you think about it?
I think that basically it was my ability to do all things well. You know, I really didn't have any holes in my game.
Right.
And I was never exploited as a base stealer because the teams that I were on were slugging teams.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't run very much, but although I could run, we just didn't do it. So really, if you look back, that was really the only area that I didn't really excel at, and that was just because we didn't do it. But I tried to pattern myself, or not pattern myself, but be a complete ball player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty rare nowadays, actually.
Oh, it is. Very rare. But when you were a little kid growing up in Southern California, did you always want to play Major League Baseball?
Not really. I was an all-around athlete. In fact, when I went to college, I went on a football scholarship, mm-hmm. and then I had other scholarships offers as well in basketball. So I was a seasonal athlete. Whatever season it was, that was what I did, including marbles. It was just whatever the other kids were doing. You were playing football, you played basketball, and then there was a spring where you played marbles, and you ran track, and then you played baseball. And so I did all that stuff. And I just, I loved sports, and I was good at it. And so consequently, as I got older, I started to narrow down a little bit. In high school, I played three. In college, I played two. And then finally, my college career, I finally settled on baseball. But it took a long time to weed that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't think about Major League Baseball, and probably until I was a senior in high school, I thought about it a little bit. But my goal was to get to college,
mm-hmm.
and not to be a Major League Baseball player.
Was your favorite sport, whatever sport was in season?
Yeah, it was, pretty much. In high school, I loved basketball because we played in a small gym, and you crammed 2,000 people in a small arena, and the noise level is just deafening. And I love that.
Yeah.
And then football as well, we had big crowds. Baseball, no one showed up.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the way it is sometimes now, even. But
yeah, well, even in college, at a major university,
mm-hmm.
at the SC, we didn't have many people come to our games in baseball until playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, we didn't get that many. So it's not a real visual sport or a fan participatory sport like the others are. So I really enjoyed basketball. In fact, I'm playing basketball twice a week now.
Oh.
So I still stay in touch with it.
What position did you play when you played football?
I was a wide receiver, a flanker, and a defensive back.
Okay. Did you seriously, you know, the Yankees drafted you in the third round in 1970. Did you consider that offer, or were you pretty much set on going to
it? The reason they drafted me actually was in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Or was the second?
Yeah. The Orioles and the Dodgers at that time were looking at me in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them that it would take a lot of money for me not to go to college. And a lot of money in those days was near $100,000.
Right.
And they weren't willing to come up with that kind of money to offset the college's education. And I was the first person in my family to go to college. So that was a big deal. And we told the Yankees, you know, if you're not going to come up with the money, don't draft us. Don't waste the draft. But they drafted me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when they came over to the house, we just told them, and, sorry, but, you know, I'm going to school.
Yeah. Did your time at USC, do you think that really helped you propel you into your baseball career?
I think it did. Especially, I was a young 18 when I was going to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a shy kid, not very worldly. Now, when you got me on the athletic field, you know, I could hold my own with anyone. But, you know, on the street, it was a little different. So for me to be a professional athlete at 18, I don't know how well I would have handled that, quite truthfully. But my college career, I got to travel. I won 3 years and won 3 national titles. I represented the United States in the Pan Am Games. I was on the first collegiate All-Stars that visited Japan. Went to Cali, Columbia. You know, I did a lot of traveling. Went to Hawaii 3 times to play tournaments over there. I traveled extensively in my baseball career at college. And I really matured as a person a little bit that
mm-hmm.
way. And it really helped me get into professional ball that on that level.
So you went to college for 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. Then the Red Sox, of course, drafted you, and that was in the second round in 73?
That's correct.
Right. How did you feel about that? Were you pleased to be going to Boston?
Well, I wasn't very pleased with the where I was drafted
mm-hmm.
Because, quite truthfully, after my sophomore year, I'd seen every player in the country. I'd played on
mm-hmm.
Summer teams, on USA teams, All-American teams, all those kinds of things. I'd seen the best players, and I considered myself to be in the top 5 of the country. And my sophomore year, if I would have stayed out of school and sat out and then gone to the draft my sophomore year, I probably would have been either the first or second pick.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, the scouts got down on me my junior year. I didn't have quite as good a season as I did my sophomore year. They thought I could do this, I could do that. So therefore, I was drafted in the second round. So I was a little disappointed in that. But the only reason I decided to sign actually was twofold.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, my coach, Rod Dado, told me that the Boston organization was a very good organization to be involved with. They were a class act. And number two, I had attained everything that I could attain at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
There was really nothing left for me to do athletically. You know, I'd won 3 national titles, been All-American twice. There's not much else to do there. So those were the two reasons why I signed.
Yeah. Well, you kind of proved yourself, you know, real fast in the minor leagues. Only spent parts of 2 years there. Were you surprised how fast you went through the organization? Or?
Well, when I signed in July of 73,
mm-hmm.
and I went to Double A, and that was one of the requirements that we made, that I at least start at Double A. I was starting lower. I didn't feel like I needed to, and I was only there from July through to September.
Mm-hmm. Early September,
then,
yeah.
Yeah, then I went up to the Triple A, and they were involved in the playoffs, and we went to the Little World Series and won that. And then the next year, I went to AAA and lasted till September, and then was called up. So it wasn't. I had confidence in myself that, you know, I wouldn't be in the minors very long. After I saw how it worked and the caliber of players, I proved pretty quickly that I could compete with the guys at each level.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of graduated, and the Red Sox in 74 were kind of slumping, so they brought Rice and I up. Jimmy came up a couple months before I did. And we did quite well early, so it was a pretty good move on their part.
Did your success, you had a lot of success when you were called up in 74. Did that help you go in 75?
Yeah, it did. I said, the Sox in 74, gosh, I think in August they were in first place by 4 or 5 games,
mm-hmm.
and then they went into a team slump. They just couldn't hit for anything. They were pitching well, but they couldn't hit. And so when they called me up in September, I didn't play right away, and then the last 2 weeks I played every game, and I hit like 4-something. And I did really well, right? And it really stood out because no one else was hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it propelled me into the next season. It gave me some confidence to say, hey, you know, I can play with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Really, my attitude was that every level that I went up the ladder, in athletics, especially in baseball. If I wasn't the best player in baseball, I was one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, well, why should it really change just because I'm playing with older guys? So really, that was my attitude. And so that's probably why I wasn't daunted by the major league experience.
Wow.
Plus, in those days, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't like it is now where the media knew who I was coming in. No one knew who I was except for some scouts.
Mm-hmm.
I was a West Coast product, and the East Coast, in those days, they didn't know what was going on in the West.
Sure did.
But now, with the advent of ESPN, and they're doing baseball, college games, everybody knows who's coming up now.
Yeah, publications like Baseball America and
such. Yeah, right. Like so mm-hmm. there's no surprises anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the guy's coming out of maybe the Deep South where there's no TV or something.
Yeah.
Or some little remote area of the country where there's not a lot of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But if he comes from a major market, you're going to know who he is.
Yeah.
So I've had an advantage, really, over some of the guys that I just kind of snuck in unnoticed. And that fit my personality really well. Because, like I said, I wasn't a very outgoing person. And so I just kind of hid in the bushes there for a while. And probably until the middle of the season when I drove in 10 runs.
Yeah, I was going to say, looking back on June 18th, I think it was, and your three home runs. Yeah.
But that's when I got national exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that time, the teams in the Eastern Division knew who I was. And people in New England. But other than that, really, I got no national exposure until that night.
Mm-hmm. Was that one of your best games ever?
Yeah, looking back, as far as the production, I would say that it was.
Mm-hmm.
I got 5 hits and 3 homers and a triple, and the triple just missed being a home run by about 3 inches.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was a pretty productive evening.
Yeah. When you look back at 75, you know, you had such a great first year and everything. What does that mean to you now?
I've answered that question from some people before, and what happened, I kind of wish it would have happened like my third or fourth year,
mm-hmm.
because then I would have probably appreciated what I had attained a little bit better. My first year, everything was happening so quickly. You know, I'm a rookie. I'm going to, I was a small city kid going to the big cities for the first time, and everything was new and exciting, and try to encompass everything was just overwhelming. And you know, I was just playing ball, and I really didn't think about it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But now, looking back on it, still no one has done what I had done,
mm-hmm.
and probably until someone else does it, you know, that's really something for me to look back on with pride, is that I was the only player in the history of the game to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if somebody ties it, they'll just tie it. They won't have done it first.
Right. But did anyone help you, like maybe any established veterans or anything, or coaches?
In those days, it wasn't, veterans didn't last that long. You know, by 32, guys were checking out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like now where they're playing a little bit older, because they didn't take care of themselves the way they do now. Of course, the money wasn't as good, so you know they could do other jobs and get just as much money.
Mm-hmm.
Not so now. But to answer your question, the veterans really didn't help out younger guys that much.
Mm-hmm.
On occasion, some of them might, but most, the majority, did not. And they just simply said, you got to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you couldn't even, on the team bus, you had to sit in the front of the bus. You sat in the back of the bus with the boys, I mean, they'd beat the hell out of you. I mean, it is a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
Rookies took their lumps in those days. I got knocked down so many times, I can't even recall how many times I got knocked down.
Hmm.
If you knock down a rookie today, he'll get up and glare at you like he's played the game 10 years.
Yeah, they'd be on charge of the mound.
Somehow, the priorities got mm-hmm. screwed up a little bit.
Yeah. Did you ever think about, during the season, any chances of the MVP and the Rookie of the Year?
I never thought about it once.
Mm-hmm.
No, because we were in a pennant race, and that was what I was focusing on. I had never played baseball, or I never played sports for achievements, rewards. I never thought about it. That's not the reason I played. That's probably why I don't really. I mean, they're nice if you get them, but they don't. It doesn't break my heart if I don't. Because that's not why I played. I played because it was good, and I played because I liked it.
Yeah. Well, you made the World Series your first year, and it turned out it was your only World Series. But when you look back now, do you think you appreciated it at the time?
No. To me, it was, I was so used to doing that, because at the college level, every year went to the College World Series and won it. So to me, it was just a natural progression. I mean, that's what was supposed to happen. I played on winning teams all my life. And the first losing experience I had was in the minor leagues, my AAA year, although the year previously we'd won the Little World Series. So, you know, I won College World Series, Little World Series. My first year I get to the World Series, I mean, that's just the way it was supposed to be. You know, I never thought it should be any other way. It proved to be otherwise, but that's the way I thought.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, we're supposed to win. And the teams I was on, we won.
Well, game six, of course, I'm sure you've been asked a million times about it. You hit a three-run homer in the first inning, and of course, Fitz finished it with his home run. When you look back, is that one of the more memorable games of your career?
Yeah, that's in fact, there's a local cable outlet here that plays memorable baseball games, and that one comes on quite often. And that game had everything. You know, it was a seesaw battle. In fact, that World Series was kind of akin to the Atlanta-Minnesota series, where it was just back and forth, back and forth. Whoever broke out early in the lead ended up losing the game, seemed like. And that game, of course, we had to win it because we were down 3-2. And I also ran into the wall that game of my back. But that was pretty darn exciting. You know, every pitch meant something, and that was probably one of the most memorable games I've played in, no question.
Yeah.
Certainly, the fans, you know, I get asked about that from fans and people that I know. They say about that six game of the 75 series. You really brought baseball back, because baseball was kind of floundering in public opinion. Football was really dominant, and that series kind of put baseball to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, as a ninth grader at the time, I remember going to school the next day and talking about it. And my dad, he was a big Red Sox fan, and he was, I mean, just being on top of the world and everything. I mean, it's just, it's amazing, too, to me that a lot of people still, when they think back about it, think that the Red Sox were at least, you know, won the series even sometimes, you know? It's kind of odd.
Well, it felt, you know, all New England, you know, they were behind us, obviously, and we did have quite a following. You know, we had some pretty named players with Yastrzemski and Fisk and Rice and Evans. And, you know, we just, it was on and on. We had a lot of star marquee players. And so we were pretty recognizable as a unit. And the series was so good that, you know, really no one thought there was a loser. We just ran out of time. And the thing is that people forget is that we played that series without Jimmy Rice.
Because he was hurt.
He had a broken wrist.
When that year was over, not necessarily when that year was over, when you look back now, is there one accomplishment you're most pleased about that you did in your rookie year?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think that one accomplishment. There was a series that we played in New York, and it was late in the year, and we were battling with Baltimore for the pennant, and we were playing a double dip in New York, and we had a 1-0 lead, and this catch that I made was on tape. I've seen it many times. In fact, I have a copy of it. 1-0 lead in the ninth, and Nettles hit a ball into left center, and I had a long way to go because I was playing right center. Made a pretty good catch and avoided Jimmy Rice, and he avoided me, and we went on to win that game 1-0. We shut him out the second game, and that pretty much clinched the pennant for us. So that moment really stuck out in my mind because it was it really meant a lot to us.
Yeah.
As a ball club.
Well, it seemed like the next year you and Carlton and Rick Burleson had some contracts that, you know, you held out a little bit or...
No, it was a lot of it.
Yeah.
That time it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. And now it's nothing, you know.
The Messerschmitt-McNally case was in court. And we were banking on the fact that they were going to win. So we didn't sign a contract. And that was unheard of in those days. And especially in Boston, you just didn't do that kind of stuff. You didn't buck the establishment. You didn't buck Mr. Yawkey. And because he was supposed to be, you know, a very generous owner, and he was. But we were just betting that they would win their case. And so it was not a very pleasant situation playing that year.
Because you guys are kind of made the scapegoats almost.
It was a complete reversal. You know, I was the fair-haired child the year before. The next year I was a greedy Southern California, and it was pretty tough to play those home games, let me tell you. In fact, Pudge and Rooster, they signed before me, and I was still out there by myself. And I finally signed, I think, God, late July or August. It was, oh, God, it made for a long, long season.
Yeah, I bet so. Overall, did you like playing in Boston?
Oh, I loved it. You know, they never could quite believe that I liked playing there. I was from Southern California, and after the season was over, I'd come back to Southern California just because I didn't like the winters there. But I loved playing there, and I loved playing in the East. And when I was traded to the Angels, after that tenure there, my first opportunity at free agency, I went back East again. You know, and I signed with Baltimore. Yeah, I love playing in the East. It's just, I love the atmosphere.
The intensity.
The people are behind their clubs, you know, that's what they're thinking about, baseball.
Yeah.
On the West Coast, you know, they think about baseball to a certain extent, but there's too many other things to do.
Sure. We had a couple more good years, 77, 78. I know the, I'm sure the year y'all lost the one game playoff to the...
78.
Yeah, 78 to the Yankees was disappointing, but...
that was major disappointment.
Yeah, told me one time that that was the most disappointing moment of his whole career.
Well, he made the last out.
And
I was on deck, and I remember it quite vividly. You know, Goose was pitching, and he's just looking dead fastball, trying to tie the game up, and he just got under one and flew out, and I forget where he
popped out foul territory to nettle.
Yeah, it was the nettle, but he just got under it. I could see it right from where I was perfectly. And you know, he's a Hall of Famer, and you know, I know that he feels badly about it because, you know, we hate making the last out.
Sure.
No one likes to make the last out because you feel like you lost the game. But you know, he wasn't to blame. We just fell a little bit short. We won 99 games. Didn't win anything, so it was tough. We all felt that we had a better team than the Yankees.
Yeah.
They had a little bit better pitching than we did. But the guys on the field, we could go with anybody.
Yeah. Well, then 79, was that your best all around year?
Yes.
I mean, because you put some incredible numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of put 75 to bed on that year. That was the first year that I had lifted weights in the off season. And I got a little bit stronger, and I started hitting the ball a little bit further with less effort. And I was always experimenting in those days with training. And then, you know, no one really helped you like they do now as far as weight training and all that kind of stuff.
So a lot of players weren't supposed to lift weights back then.
It was pretty much taboo, so you did everything on your own. And I'd never done it before, and I was always experimenting. And every year I was experimenting with something. It's not like you had a set pattern. Like kids come up now through college, they get a real nice basic foundation as far as working out, the right things to do. We didn't have that, so every year was an experiment for me.
Well, is that one of the reasons the working out you attributed to your 39 home runs that year?
Yeah, no question.
Yeah,
because I stayed strong the whole year. Prior to that, you know, I was not a big guy, 6'1", about 180, and my stats would go down the second half, especially power stats, and just because I was getting physically tired.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, you know, I stayed strong the whole year, and I really had good numbers the second half.
Do you think that was also the key to your batting title, remaining strong?
Yeah, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I could always hit. You know, the year before, I was hitting 331 at the break, and I ended up hitting 300 or 299 or something for the year, and I just didn't have quite the snap, you know, in the second half. And so that's when I started lifting. And in the second half, in 79, I hit better than I did the first half. So.
Yeah. Well, then in 1980, you had another good year, too. But you also, didn't you have a broken toe that year, I believe?
Yeah, that was my last at bat as a Red Sox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Steve McCaddy was throwing, he threw me a slider down and in, and unfortunately for me at the time I was swinging a hot bat,
mm-hmm.
and the slider was down and in, so I hit the ball right on the fat part of the bat, but I drove it right into my foot, and I'd never broken a bone before in my life, but at that moment I knew it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it, and the next pitch I hit a ball into the gap, and as soon as I took a step, it was just excruciating pain, and I got to second base, I hit a double. I motioned to the trainer, I just gave him a sign language that I knew it was broken. But I stayed in, because I had some kind of sixth sense that this is it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And because all the talk about me leaving and everything. And then I think I scored on a rice base hit or something. Anyway, that was my last at bat as a Red Sox.
Wow, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
We know a lot of people unfairly, it seemed like they criticized you about always getting hurt and stuff, and they said, oh, you shouldn't hustle, you shouldn't do this, you know, as much, but...
Well, my managers used to tell me that. I had some managers tell me, we'd rather have you in the game, don't run into walls,
mm-hmm.
don't dive, you know, don't try to do those things, you know, and I say, okay, and then I go out and I do them, but how can you tell a player to do that? You can't.
It's amazing.
Justify my being out there if I'm not going to play the way people want me to play.
and then you know, you look at people now, they say, oh, that guy doesn't hustle and stuff. It's just amazing, you know?
Yeah, well, you don't see too many guys doing what I did.
There's
a few left, but, they don't want to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too much money. You know, I never thought about that. I never thought about anything, but, you know, if the ball is coming to my area, I'm going to catch it. Or if I can't catch it, I'm going to do everything I can to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should I penalize my team? You know, I might get hurt, but I can't worry about that.
Yeah.
You those are the things that people remember about me. They don't remember that I hit some home runs or I got a base hit. They remember the plays I made in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they remember about me.
Did you love to play defense?
Yes.
Yeah, that I think you make a lot of sense.
A lot of that comes from my background in football.
Mm-hmm.
I had no fear. I had no fear of the wall. As far as I'm concerned, the wall never moved. It's not a 230-pound fullback I have to tackle,
mm-hmm.
coming, you know, like a freight train at me. It's just standing there. I know it's going to be there, and if I hit it, I know I'm going to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be clotheslined by a defensive back or something. So I had no fear of that stuff.
Would you change that if you played today?
No.
No, you still would do it the same way?
I would do it the same way. That's just me. That's the way I play. That's the way I played football. That's the way I played everything. That's
mm-hmm.
the way I do everything.
Yeah. Not a lot of guys do that these days, it seems like. But,
no, that's sure you're right.
Yeah. But, you and Jimmy Rice came up at the same time, and it seems like you guys were either always compared or combined. You know, you
right.
talked about both of you, but... was it good early on to have another rookie around, maybe to take off a little bit of pressure?
We played double A together
mm-hmm.
for a time. We played triple A together. Then we came up to the major leagues. He came up a little before I did, but
mm-hmm.
basically we're there together. We played golf together. Jimmy and I never had a problem. In fact, I still play golf tournaments with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see him at different functions throughout the country. And we had a real good thing. You know, the press were trying to divide us. They never could.
Yeah, they were always writing crap about you guys. I mean, that you didn't like each other.
No, that was never true.
Mm-hmm.
It was never true. And we were very good teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, off the field, we loved to play golf together, and we loved to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was good for us.
Mm-hmm. do you think maybe, you know, Boston is still, even to this day, I think, perceived as, you know, a team that likes white players, it seems like. You know, and because even they're hoping Andre Dawson may change that and stuff. But do you think maybe the press was even trying to divide you guys like that with black-white situations?
That's a possibility. You'd have to ask Jimmy that. He probably would be better equipped to answer that question than I would.
Yeah. But I just think it was just weird because, I mean, it, you know, it just seemed like they were writing all this crap about you guys, and a lot, I've heard from other people that played with you guys that said it wasn't true. And,
right. It was never true.
Yeah. But then the next year you were traded home to California.
Yeah,
and,
1980.
Yeah, 1980. Or really, it was, I think, when it already 81. Or,
yeah.
So how did you feel about that?
Well, circumstances just dictated that I was going to be gone. The ownership there wanted to, I don't think that they wanted Burleson, Fisk, and myself back. Otherwise, why would you get rid of the heart of your club?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the heart of your club is up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you build your baseball club, catcher, second, short, center. You build your club around those players on the defensive side. And plus, all of us could hit. So, it seems pretty strange to me that they would get rid of three guys like that.
Yeah, and they didn't.
It was unusual circumstances. Why? You'd have to dig that out. I mean, I have my own reasons, but you'd have to find out.
Mm.
But you just don't do that.
No, and, you know, like with Fisk, they just let him walk. I mean,
yeah,
didn't give him a contract.
Well, I was in the same situation.
Yeah.
They tendered our contracts late.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to become automatic free agents. And I agreed to the trade.
Yeah.
So I, in essence, got them off the hook. They got a couple bodies for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But with Fisk, they got nothing.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, too, seem like the Boston press said, well, he won't hit outside of Fenway, but 1982, you kind of proved that wrong. Was that satisfying?
Fenway was definitely good to me. I hit like 350 or 360 there,
mm-hmm.
lifetime. So, you know, I loved hitting. There's no question about it. I had to make some adjustments because when I came to Fenway, I was a dead pole hitter. And then when I adjusted my swing to the needs of the ballpark, but when I left, I kind of became more of a pull hitter again.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt my average, no question. You know, as a pull hitter, you're easier to defense, and if you don't spray the ball around, you're not going to hit for average that much. There's not too many pull hitters that ever played that hit for average. Maybe Ted Williams would be one exception.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't use the whole field, you're not going to hit for as high an average. So I didn't. And then the clubs I was on, they wanted me to try to produce more home runs. Whereas in Boston, I didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I could hit for average and hit whatever home run total I had acquired. That was fine for them. But the other clubs that I played for, we needed some more pop, especially from the left side. So I kind of changed my philosophy a little bit for whatever club I was playing for.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy your time with the Angels?
Yeah, 82 I did. We had a great club.
Mm-hmm.
We had all-stars at every position. And unfortunately, they broke up that club the next year, which was kind of disheartening to me. But that was a real good club, and I was very, very disappointed that we didn't get to the World Series that year.
Because you had a great series, going 11 of 16 and won the MVP in the LCS. So.
Yeah, that's another first thing that I did, is that the losing player,
mm-hmm.
losing team's player was the MVP. That's never been done either.
Yeah. We can talk about another person. Next year you hit a grand slam and won the MVP in the All-Star game.
Yeah, that was a very memorable moment for me because we broke the National League string.
Mm-hmm. Did you hit it off at Allie Hammacher?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Wow, you played real well in All-Star games.
Yeah.
Did you just enjoy being in the limelight, or was it too?
Well, I did, but I've always played my best baseball either against the best teams or in key games. I feel like I was always a prime time player. Whenever we needed something, you know, that's when I like to play. When the game was on the line, or when you're playing all-star competition against the best that there is, that's when I really like to play.
Mm-hmm.
I have always played to the level of my competition normally.
Yeah.
I even do it now. If I'm playing somebody that's not as good as me, I don't play as well. But if you put me against somebody that is as good as me or better, then that makes my game go up.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are like that. But
yeah, it really holds true.
Especially competitive people, I think. You know,
yeah.
At least I'm that way, I know. But then you spent, what, 3.5 years in Baltimore, then a year and a half or so in Detroit, then finished out with San Diego. From those last half dozen or so years, does anything in particular stand out in your final 6 years?
Well, more so that, I was never on a great club again.
Right.
In Detroit, we end up, when I was traded over there, we finished a game out, and that was a kind of a pretty good club. That was a fun club to play on. I love playing on veteran clubs.
Mm-hmm.
With some young guys mixed in, but I love playing with the older guys. I made some good friends, on some of those ball clubs, and I remember that. And there were some good times as well in Baltimore. I went on streaks where I hit consecutive home runs in the bottom of the ninth, 3 games in a row.
And I remember that, yeah.
And so, there were some things along the way that were a lot of fun. And I love playing in Baltimore. It was a great place to play.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun there. And I like Detroit, too. My time at San Diego, we were supposed to have a good club, and our major guys got hurt. So we didn't do as well as we had hoped to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broke up that club.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be a pattern there that with your teams, but I mean a lot of teams do that in the past 15, 20 years. But
yeah, they just totally dismantled the club. So that's just the way professional sports go, and people don't realize sometimes that you make friends and all of a sudden they're gone, and what it does to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. It definitely hardens you.
Well, aside from the strike here, you had 10 straight years with 20 plus home runs, I believe. Was that because you said earlier that your teams wanted you to hit for power, and that's fun?
Some of them, yeah, because they didn't come out and, well, some did, some came out and said we'd like you to try to drive some runs in and hit some home runs. Others, you just figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
From where you hit the order, and you see the makeup of the club and what the club needs. And let's face it, I knew as players, you know what the club needs for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
and where you hit in the order. And really, I dictated my game. I was flexible enough. If I hit second in the order, well, I tried to set the guys up behind me. I tried to get on base. I'd take a walk. I'd move runners over. If I hit third, I would do the same thing. I'd hit a little bit more power. If I hit fourth, I'd try to drive in runs. If I hit fifth, I'd try to hit more home runs than average. I'd sacrifice that. And so I was very adaptable, and I moved up and down in the order all over the place.
Did you have
unfortunately enough for me, I was adaptable enough as a hitter to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a preference on where you hit the
I'd love to hit third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt that that's my best quality because I get hit for average, I had good speed, could take the extra base, I could score runs, and I could hit for some power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want from a third hitter.
Yeah. You had a... There was that one time, too, did he almost go without a year, without a home run, though, when the strike year?
Well, in 82, I went to May
mm-hmm.
without a home run. I was hit second with the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, Cruz first, I think, and then we had, Baylor, the Sensei, Gritch behind me. So those guys were the power guys, and I was... felt like I was like the table setter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was hitting the ball, that's when I was hitting for a pretty good average. I was hitting the ball left field, and I was choking up, and banking them around, and driving a few runs, and getting some extra base hits, but I had, runs, so the players put me in a hostage pool. And which is, they all put dates from the calendar in a hat, and they drew them out. And to see when I'd hit my first home run, I said, okay, that's enough of this stuff. And on a Saturday, the game of the week, I hit my first home run, and it was well into May.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up hitting 21 that year.
Yeah.
And I said, what I did was I adjusted my swing to like what I'm hitting third or fourth, even though I was hitting second.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went down to third, and then I started hitting for more power. And I felt like wherever you put me, that's how I would swing, Instead of just doing the same thing all the time, like I said, I adjusted my style for the place I hit the order.
Yeah.
And but that was a long time ago without a home run.
Yeah. When you look back now in your career, was 75 in some ways a blessing and a curse?
Oh, sure. Had I done that maybe in a town like Minnesota or Milwaukee, no big deal. You know, you had a great year your first year, but the people probably would have said, well, we'll see what he does this year. But in Boston, you know, they thought I was going to do that every year. So, you know, it was a tall order to live up to. Although, personally, I thought that I could do it again because I did it once. So I said, well, why can't I do it again? But, you know, you just don't have MVP years every year.
Did you ever feel like you had to live up to those expectations?
Sometimes. Sometimes. I'm sure that I thought that. You know, right now it's hard to recall exactly what I was thinking in those days, but I'm sure that that thought crossed my mind.
Well, how do you like for the fans to remember you now when they think back on Fred Lynn's career?
Just that I was a complete player, that I whatever I had to give on that particular day, I gave all of it.
If there's one thing in your career that you could change, what would it be?
Oh, that I didn't get hurt.
No.
That's easy.
Yeah. So that, you know, a lot of times...
If I played more games, I always said if when I was healthy and didn't have anything wrong with me, I was as good as there was. And that was proven to be true.
Sure.
But if, you know, if I was hobbled by something, it was very hard for me to adjust when I was hurt. You know, I wasn't that physical of a guy to be able to adjust to my swing because it was pretty natural. You know, I was not a mechanical player. I was just, here's a ball bat, go do it. And I did it. So it was hard for me to analyze my swing and that kind of stuff. So when I got hurt, you know, there was a monkey wrench in there and it bothered me. But when I wasn't, you know, I performed pretty well. So that would be it, you know, that I didn't get hurt.
So all in all, would you do it all over again?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you take the bad with the good, and the good is that, you know, I played hard, and everybody liked my style of play, and it was exciting. And it was exciting for me. And, you know, if I could be bigger and stronger and maybe run into a few less walls and not to pay the price for what I did, that would be great. But I wouldn't compromise my style.
What was the hardest wall?
Fenway.
Fenway, yeah.
It was concrete.
Yeah. But what are you doing now, Fred?
I'm working for ESPN this summer.
Oh, are you? Did you do that last year?
I just started last year.
Yeah.
The College World Series fall.
Oh, that's right. That's where I remember
seeing. And I did a few pro games, and now this year I'm going to do a few more pro games for them.
Great. Are you going to do some of the Tuesday night games?
I'm going to do Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. Oh. Well, are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I am. It was fun. I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy, you enjoy the broadcast, I guess, or otherwise you wouldn't be doing it, of course.
Yeah, well, I enjoy going down and talking to the guys, you know, hanging around the cage, you know, just being an athlete.
Well, then, because I remember ESPN did something on you about 2 years ago.
That's right.
And
yeah, my wife and I were
right.
Hello. It was about the conditioning and waiting for, you know, a team to see if I was going to sign it.
I remember seeing that. I said, man, he seems like such a nice guy. I mean, and I wanted, you know, I was hoping someone would pick you up, but of course, you know, that didn't work out that way. Yeah.
Well, they don't want the old goats anymore.
Well, I don't know. It seems like baseball's really changing these days, too.
There's no question about that.
Did you see it change a lot over your career?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I went, you know, from 18,000 to... 7 million.
Well, and then too, I mean, but 75 was almost an innocent time compared to.
That's correct.
Today.
You know, I mean, it was a blue collar sport. You know, in those days. Now, you know, guys, you know, carry briefcases to the ballpark. So, and rightfully so, because you know, you have to be able to handle your money, and it's a little difficult for a 25-year-old kid making, you know, $1 million a year. How's he supposed to know what to do with it?
Yeah. Well. It is, especially with so many people after it, too.
You become, you have a lot of friends all of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden. So, well, Fred, I sure have enjoyed it, and I sure do appreciate your time.
Well, listen, would you send me a copy?
I'll be more than happy to.
Well, I appreciate that.
And it'll be probably about a couple weeks, but whenever I get it, I've got your address, I'll send it right away to you.
Okay.
Fred, thanks so much.
Very good, okay.
Take care.
Good luck to you.
You too, bye-bye.
Bye.